The recording has started now.
Thank you very much. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is the MPOC Open Excom meeting on the 23rd of August 2016. On the call today, we have Klaus Toll, Fuzani Badi, Jahanjay Hussain, John Carr, Martin Silver Valence, Consulate Ileleji, Tamna Franco, and from staff, we have myself, Marion Bakoshi. I'd like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for translation purposes. Thank you very much. Over to you, Martin.
Well, I'll repeat a little bit myself just so it's on the record. This is Martin speaking. This is an open XCOM call. This means that it's a regular executive committee call from MPOC, but it's open to anybody that wants to participate. We're trying something new. We think this is to the benefit of the work of the executive committee. Specifically, we're looking for new feedback, new people that want to help or at least that can give us information and ideas just to have, we can have a more, much more diverse input and improve our work. And of course, to improve transparency and also to make the MPOC and SDG be able to participate more in what the MPOC discussions are. We are trying this new kind of set of calls, so we're probably going to be changing them or tweaking them or doing different things. We definitely want to make this call as open as possible, so we're going to have a much more aggressive outreach in the English community in the next sessions. We're trying them. So, with no further things to say, let's go to agenda. I think we owe ourselves some sort of explanation of what happened yesterday, the day before that, but mainly yesterday on the NCSG list with the whole GNSO election and NCSG election. I don't know, maybe John, that is in the XCOM of NCSG list, wants to do some sort of introduction. What it is, what happened, what is the nota that everyone was talking about? Something that so that we can have some common ground.
Sure. It's Joan for the record, and also Ponsat is on that committee. So Ponsat, feel free to jump in, or maybe when I'm done, you can add something. So the call for election went out. It has started, and there were some dialogue around the procedures and. An issue called NOTA, none of the above, garnered a lot of discussions. And I think what a lot of the discussions were about was this procedure. Some of the members felt that there should be more dialogue and interaction between the members, and so there was a lot of discussions around that. However, Tapani, the chair, and looked at a lot of the charter and some of the discussions, and he has since closed that discussion in terms of proceeding with the election. The discussions between the EC and the community was not everybody was in agreement either, just for the record, was around the changes of none of the above. And essentially, I think we felt that the issue was actually addressed just by if you didn't want to vote for someone, you didn't have to vote for them. And it was basically a procedural issue, but the outcome is what we looked at, the overall, certainly that's what I looked at. And so I was in agreement with us continuing on. So as it stands, there's still ongoing dialogue, but the chair has actually closed that that issue. So I think that's all.
Well, let me get this straight. The executive committee of the NCSG has not arrived to any sort of conclusion on this yet.
if they have arrived on it? I'm sorry, I didn't understand.
Have they arrived to any
Tapani closed the discussion after answering, according to the charter, but there's still a bit of dialogue going on right now.
Okay, I will give the microphone to Klaus. Klaus, your turn.
Thank you very much, Klaus, for the record. Let me try to explain a little bit the situation from my point of view. I think it is absolutely vital that we need to be as open and as transparent in this as we can. And I fully agree and wholeheartedly agree with everybody who says, look, we need to have as broad an election and as a democratic election as possible. But what a lot of people don't seem to understand is that we are not looking about how the ballot form now looks explicitly. It's about what nota, not none of what does it actually mean in electoral terms? And as Afri and Tapani quoted Afri in their 2011 statement, it basically means that you don't agree with a candidate, but it doesn't mean that that you are basically voting against as a person, so that the NOTA actually becomes a person. So in case that somebody who would, let's say, gets 10 votes as a person and his nota gets 11 votes, has to return to re-election. And I think this is quite simply not the case. And as Afri herself stated in her email, it just simply means if you have 11 votes against the above, it means that you have to work harder, that you have to do a hell of a lot more to really be sure that you represent the membership. And I think what it all points out to, and why I'm very, very happy about that discussion, also it is it's a really hurting and not so pleasant discussion, is that it will lead, hopefully, after the election to a reform process inside the NGSG, and as we already pledged, inside the NCUC and NPOC, and maybe NCUC hopefully will join the fray. I just hope that we managed, what we get out of this is that none of these processes none of these processes are perfect. Everybody will go out of these things with pain. But on the other hand, and that is why my position, why I voiced my position so strong, we have to stick with what we have and can't make things up on the way as we seem to need. And so this is how I see it, and I'm very happy if people don't agree with me, because this is a hard one. Thank you. Sorry for talking so long.
Great. Thank you very much, Klaus. To wrap it up, basically, I understand that the discussion, first of all, is an there's been an accusation that the process is fraudulent, or at least that it's not a due process, and therefore it's not a legitimate election, and it won't arrive to a legitimate conclusion. This is based on the fact that there was no NOTA and OTA. I don't know why those are the acronyms, but basically none of the above option to each candidate. And basically the argument is, okay, we don't have it, it's not in the charter, we could have it in the future for this election. We have already made a ballot, the voting has already started, and even so, since we only have three candidates for three spots, it's not going to be an issue, because I mean, the three candidates are basically going to get elected, because any sort of voting they can have, they're going to be the majority. And the counter-argument for that is that that's not true, because Nota could beat down a candidate, and it could leave out a place. We could have basically one spot free, or we could leave one spot open, if Nota, a none-of-above option, get more votes than the candidate. Just a personal note on this, I actually agree with Klaus in the sense that I think it's a must. It is a problem. We do need to rethink and redo the process. But the truth is the chart doesn't speak about Nota, then why are we so concerned about it, first of all? Second, it's not weird that an election has basically a not mandatory Nota that can be candidate. I mean, most of election actually don't have that. Most of election will allow to choose a candidate regardless of that voting, if that's the only candidate. But I can understand the concern. I don't know. It felt for me that there was almost a personal attack against some of the NCSG candidates. I don't know why. I understand the deep problem that it means to not have a fully legitimate candidate. But, I mean, there were only three that wanted to work for GNSO. And at the end, I think that's the important part. I mean, we're going to leave one spot open that no one else wants to step in. So basically, we have these three people that want to have these three spots that are going to work for us. Free. They're voluntary. And then people are going to vote against one of them to rule them out and leave one spot open so we can be a minority in the GNSO. It makes no sense to me. I think that in the best interest of defending the non-commercial, we need these three guys. And it's not because the election is symbolic. We have our whole process. No one else wanted to be candidate. I can only applaud that they want to be candidates. I will leave the floor to Farsi. Farsi, I'm very, very, very pleased to have you here. So it's my honor to give you the floor. I will give you the first floor, so because you are the guest. Sean, if you may, you will wait one more second. Farsi?
Yes, thank you, Martin. My name is Farsi Onabedi. For the record, I'm an NCEC member and a European representative of the Executive Committee of NCEC. I'm just going to just make a point on the election, and one is that the problem was really the interpretation of Nota, and so there were some disagreements on whether whether Nota can be counted as like an against vote against the one candidate. So that was really, I think that was the issue that Tapani in his email interpreted Nota as an option that will spoil the whole vote if you choose it. So if you think that all the three candidates are not suitable for the position, you can choose Nota, which I think this is like one of the problems. That is supposedly not the case. If you choose Nota and not choose one candidate, that means that you've actually voted against that candidate. That's what they had in their mind beforehand. Now, the other thing that I can hear is arguments that it has not been predicted in the charter, the thing is that it's a procedural rule. I don't know if this should be actually, nota should be specifically mentioned. The charter is like more like a constitution. So that's the thing. And also, when we have election, of course, I agree that we need to have like well-contested elections and people should step up and run for these positions. But when no one is running for this position, we have three offices. And remember that we have three offices. These three candidates are running for three different offices, are not running against each other. So we have to at least provide a way for people that don't want to vote for a candidate, just say, I don't want to vote. And that's not going to happen if you give them, I'm sorry, I'm blabbering on, but it's my last one. That's not going to happen if you just tell them, so don't vote for them. Because then you are not really showing your opinion. Your opinion is not counted in the ballot count. Thank you.
Hi, Martin. We can't hear you. Martin, we can't hear you. We've lost you there. Can you hear me? Okay, we can't hear you, Martin.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, that's perfect. Thank you very much.
I connected and disconnected. Yeah, I don't know why. Weird. Firstly, I was saying that I think you have a great point and an absolutely valid case. I could actually agree with you. It's not I don't have a strong case against you, but I do think that the argument is only actually valid if the nota can beat the candidate. If not, for this specific election, it doesn't give a different result. And that's where I have a problem. We have to discuss if Nota can be the candidate or not, and if Nota is or mandatory or not. We could say it's mandatory because it has been part of the NCSG process rule that are not in the chart, but the rules are somewhere else. I don't have a specific idea of that. But I would say the other thing is, if we leave the GNSO spot open, we are going to be weaker against commercial interests and other sort of interests that are opposite to us. And that's the part that really leads me. You know, I really want to be the strongest as non-commercial as we can. And I think that while fighting something that it might be fair, we are going to be, you know, shooting ourselves in the foot. Sean, you have the floor.
Did you say Joan? Hello?
Yes, Joan, you have
Joan?
The floor.
Sorry. Great, thank you, Martin. It's Joan for the record. I just wanted to say both from being a representative of MPOC and being on the NCSG XCOM as well, I looked through all of the dialogue that went on, and because I'm new to the whole system, and I looked through all the dialogue, and there were calls for, you know, recalling the ballots and going through a different process, et cetera, et cetera. And I looked at what would the end result, what would be the benefit of the end result, and there would actually be no difference because, like you said, does one person get voted out, and what was the point that made us weaker? So I looked at what was the end goal. Number one is we also said as an EC, and I personally said it, that we would have to look at engaging the community at addressing election issues that came up during this whole dialogue tried to address them as a community, but this was not the time to do it. So we are actually going to do that, but from a transparency point of view, I didn't think that there was anything that was not transparent. I mean, it was just procedural. And the point at the end of the day was that we had three candidates and three seats. And when I looked at it, too, is reading some of the other emails, I kept thinking that one of the issues that keep coming up is why aren't there more candidates for the GNSO? Why would why aren't people, and I mean, I have my own answer in terms of an observer, but I wanted to look at it as well. And I'm thinking one of the things that keeps coming up is how much work there is. And the amount of work that was put into this election in the last few days, I'm thinking, no wonder people are tired. I mean, if this is what they're spending their time on and not looking at how to collaborate, how can we be transparent as representatives? How do we communicate better? All of those things. No wonder they're already tired before they start. So anyway, just wanted to say that. We are looking into the, we will address the election issues this coming year. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. Tom, you have the floor if you want to.
Okay, Sam, for the record, can you hear me?
Perfectly.
Okay, thank you. Just two comments here. One on the NOTA. There are several different models of how NOTA works, and there were two problems here. There was a misunderstanding at the beginning. I mean, one model is you simply say, I don't like the slate, and I reject the slate. The other is, if you don't like a personal candidate, there are two different models of voting here, and I just agreed it with Fozzie. Both of them are legitimate. You just have to decide which one you're going to abide by. One is you simply not vote for a candidate you don't like. When there's a slate equal to the number of positions, the NOTA applied to individual candidates has a merit because somebody may only receive one vote of say, three candidates for three positions, and that person gets the position even though they received only one vote out of, say, 50. There, the NOTA allows somebody to say, I not only didn't vote for that person, I feel very strongly that they shouldn't serve, so then it's the balance of the vote for against the NOTA. So we had those three different models, and two things were going on. There was confusion as to how it was supposed to apply, and in the past, as we've seen, it's been applied differently in different elections. The other is that there were some strong personal opinions with respect to individual candidates. And unfortunately, from my viewpoint, things got a bit nasty in the middle of the discussion, and that didn't bring honor to anybody. And I don't know if the nastiness was because, as Joan said, people are tired or because people felt the stakes were too high. But we do have to go back after this and clarify how the NOTA is handled so that that's off the table and isn't used as a as either a door or a stick for some of the nastiness that went on in the dialogue. So that's all I want to say now.
Great. Thank you very much, Sam. Klaus, you are the last of the queue. Go ahead. You have a
question. Yeah, Klaus, for the record, first of all, thank you all for this wonderful discussion. I just would like to bring another aspect in there. I think this discussion has demonstrated to me that we have to strive again on the agenda that we will get as NPOC our own two councillor, and that we will also strive to get our own non-com seat. It is in our charter. It has been approved by the board, and I think a lot of the toxic discussion will go away as soon as we have these three positions. And I will make it a point to discuss that with the NCOM and the membership to devise a strategy, and then strive to go for it. Thank you very much.
I fully agree, Klaus, with you, but the truth is that, well, I think it's going to happen eventually. I mean, we are building MPOC again, and it's going, amazingly good. I think it's going to be the success of this process is going to be that. And on the other hand, I do believe that we share the non-commercial interest with NCC and the NCC members that are not MPOC. And we have to work on that. I think that's one of the also main goals that we have to get of this process. I mean, that's why my emphasis in maybe I think first you get it. I mean, what I'm trying to say is when I'm talking about GNSO, I know the enemy is the other side. I know the enemy is the business constituency. Are the ISPs, are the IPC, which is very aggressive, you know, and when I see an open seat that we could be using, and we have very good members going on in the GNSO election this time, you know, it's like, I want the three of them there fighting for me. And there's no one else to fight for me. It's not that I'm choosing one over the other. It's either to have a warrior fighting for non-commercial interests or not have it. And in that case, it's not that I don't care for procedural legitimacy. It's that I think the most legitimate decision is the one that is going to defend the non-commercial interests the best. And of course, this is with the absolutely conviction that we have to review the process. I mean, this is not like, I don't care about the process. But I think by being pure in the process now, which I don't think we've ever been absolutely pure in any process inside ICANN, by being pure in the process now, we might lose a warrior in the GNSO battle. And that's where the battle actually is going to take place. Parsi, do you want to have any sort of comeback on this? If not, you can do it later.
Martin. Sorry, I didn't raise my hand. I'm not used to raising my hand. just Martin. Yes, I understand your concern about not having a candidate at the GNSO. But the thing is that this NOTA thing, most of the time, I mean, it's never in the history of NCCF ever NOTA has won, and. But that's a concern that should be addressed later on. But I'm just saying that I would say the compromise at this point would have been to say, okay, so we will actually count NOTA in the ballot, and NOTA will not spoil all the votes. I think that could have been a solution. I don't know. We can continue the election, but yeah. Thank you.
So you feel that basically Tapare went over the ex-com when he would have easily just corrected himself? That was
I think the conversation got very, the discussion got a little bit derailed, and it was a very simple solution, and that would have been that, okay, so we will consider NOTA if a candidate does not, it will be counted if a candidate has less votes than NOTA. And that's it. That's the only problem is the interpretation. Of course, as you said, and we have discussed this extensively and totally agree with you, that the ballot design is not accurate. But still, if you just change this to slightly different interpretation, you can still work with it. And I think it would have, the solution would have been this simple interpretation, and just instruct the voters that if you choose NOTA, your votes will not be spoiled. Only the person that you have not voted for will be competing against NOTA. Thank you.
It's more than a fair point and a decent argument. I won't say otherwise. If anyone has anything else to say about this matter, please speak now or wait until later. If not, we're going to move towards the next agenda. John, yes, you have a call.
John, for the record, I just want to quickly say that, I mean, all points are always valid and discussion is always good, especially in civil society. For the ballots to be changed, it was... I counted the people who were protesting. I think there were something like 4 or 5, and I'm not sure what the membership of NCUC is. And of course, the XCOM for MPOC was involved as well. So, you know, do you change a ballot because of 4 or 5 people? And you know, where do you start and stop with the dialogue in terms of change? Does it represent the membership? So that's the first thing. The second thing is having NOTA on the ballot and not voting for someone, choosing not to vote for someone, to me, arrived at the same end. And what I mean by that is if we had more than three candidates, I could see it as really valid because then all the numbers would count. We're dealing with 3 seats, 3 candidates, and you can choose to not vote for someone or voted for 2 or 3 or 1. So, and then those numbers would be counted. So that's, in terms of making my decisions, that's how I looked at it, because we didn't have a choice in terms of a fourth candidate, and NOTA is not a fourth candidate. All it would do is show protest or negativity. That's how I interpreted it. So I just want to say that for the record.
Good. Anyone else? Or we move to the next item? I think this discussion is going to continue, so maybe in the next call we're going to keep at least hearing about this and ripples about that. So this discussion is far from over. But I think we had a fair shot on the different approaches that we can have to this matter. Not all of us fully agree with everything, but at least I can see we have a common ground to discuss. Again, if no one else has anything else to say, I will just move to the next item of the agenda, which is the Hyderabad events. I propose you in the agenda to talk about this. How many events do we have? How are confirmed? You know, the whole summary of them.
Okay. Thank you very much, Klaus, for the record. We have at the moment planned 2 events, 1 outreach event and 1 in-reach event. The outreach event is basically about reaching NGOs and not-for-profit organizations in Asia and globally. And we have designed a program, a spiel and everything, so the documentation for that one is ready. It's the same for the event of the InReach event. It's basically an event where we ask the other stakeholder groups, what do you expect, what are your expectations, and how do you see the GNSO? Because the GNSO review and reforms which will go on in the future, I think we should also at the beginning listen what other people actually, how other people actually see it and what they think of us. So I think we're doing the GNSO quite a favor with this kind of event, because it will not be confrontatory in any way. It just will be a real dialogue, I hope. The situation is that our ICANN plan
we'll forgive you.
Sorry about that. That Glenn asked us and sent me an email saying, please submit these events by a specific format by the 12th of September, and we will let you know. And I wrote back to Glenn and said, I already submitted everything to Mariam, and I asked Mariam to put it out in the right format and also send it out to Glenn as quickly as possible. But Glenn, can you think about at least the outreach event, because we are having Indian cooperation partners, and we are planning to bring people into the event, and knowing after the 12th is quite difficult for us time-wise to deal with it. So Glenn wrote back and said, fill it out as quickly as possible, and also tell us which are the dates you really want and the events you're really wanting, so that we might can give you an indication internally earlier. So what I'm waiting for at the moment is that Mariam is submitting these events and lets us know that these events are submitted. And I also would like you at this moment let you know that you need to have a little bit of patience and with Mariam, in the sense that she hasn't got a laptop and is working from her phone. So until that one is solved, please have mercy with Mariam. And then basically once we've got the confirmation for the event, the limited fundraising which is needed for this event will actually go ahead, and also the complete implementation. But to be absolutely honest, I can't go further at the moment than we are. I know it's not an ideal situation, but at least we are on track. That means not like several times before that we have to cancel the event basically by running out of time. So that's a short report on this one. If you have any questions on this, these things, please let me know. Also, if Mariam wants to make a comment on that, Mariam, please feel more than welcome.
Hi, Klaus. No, no comment at the moment, but I will get it in as soon as possible.
Perfect. In my case, as you know, we're also co-working with the onboarding mentorship pilot program with Janice. And I will be targeting specifically this time also from that program, the NGOs on the event, because I will be on the, as the name it calls it, onboarding planification of newcomers. So that's good news. We're also going to have at least some sort of input or feedback over there. Anyone else wants to do some sort of comments on this status? I think we were all some sort of already updated, but it's good to hear it all together. Sean, you have the floor.
Hi, John, for the record. Klaus, I just had a quick question. This is the event for Hyderabad. So in theory or in principle, I can, or Glenn has agreed for us to have that event, correct?
Yes, if we go the route of doing it during the ICANN meeting and with the support of ICANN, which I think is sensible. If we go the other route and doing it outside the Hyderabad event, which means not using ICANN premises, not using ICANN technical support and so on and so on, then it will be quite a costly undertaking.
Okay. So then, are the invitees members of, is this an in-reach event or an outreach or sort of a combination? Like, are we going to be working with our members that are in India to help host the event? I guess is what my question is.
I think it is clearly designed as both. We will reach out not only to the members in India, of course, with them specific in the sense that we have materials in Hindu and others, and we will have an easier task for them to get engaged. But I also will move this. The idea is to move this out outside of India and use that for our global outreach, but at the same time through our Indian partners to try to really get organizations who have not really have an idea about ICANN, let alone NPOC and so on, or the NCSG or NCUC, and basically sensitizing them to the subject by basically addressing why is internet governance and why is operational concerns and what we are doing important for your day-to-day operations.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Could I just use that occasion for one more remark? And the remark is Martin mentioned that, you know, in our Google Docs there is now a list of events we are planning and possible for NPOC and should and could participate. I, in the last few days, found some more events which I will add, and I just would ask everybody else from the executive committee or even members or non-members who want to suggest an event where NPOC should become active, just please feel free to add them. Don't think too much about how much it costs or things like that, because we need to have the event first and then we can actually analyze if we can do it or not. Thank you.
Great. I will review the Google Docs and I invite anyone that wants to do as well. Do anyone else want to have some sort of question or remarks during the events? Okay. If not, I welcome Tapani. We have here the chair. Just join us. Tapani, if you want to speak at any moment, just hold up your hand and you have the floor. Let's move on to the Policy Committee status update. Also, it has been doing an amazing, incredible, enormous work with the Policy Committee. If you want to tell us a little bit more, Sponsor, you have the floor. Sponsor, can you hear me? Are you there?
I have to unmute your microphone. Consulate, your microphone is muted.
Oh, there it goes, so this is not mute. We are not hearing you, Consulate. Try to connect and disconnect the mic. That worked for me. Is that you?
Consulate, we can hear you. Do you require a dial out?
Hello, sorry, my mic was on mute.
Great, you have the floor.
Can you hear me now? Hello?
Loud and clear, we can hear you perfectly.
Hello?
Yes.
Hello?
We can hear you.
Yes, I'm here. Sorry, can you hear me? Okay.
Yes, we can hear you loud and clear.
Okay. So basically, yes, I'm talking about what I'm trying to do with the with policy. I've talked to some members. Ore Olua in Nigeria, she runs an NGO's ICT in Girls Education, and I want to also get Sam on board because he was there before me within the policy committee. So I've not presently date on that because the lady in question, who her organization, WeTech, are part of MPOC, she is presently on holidays, and she sent me notes that if she is until she comes back from holidays before she will respond to me properly. So those were the people I want to co-opt into the membership committee. That's my view. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. I think we also going to have a little bit more of in the outreach and in which we're going to do a lot more of policy content that we've been doing so far, specifically in the in which we are doing to the MPOC membership and other people inside ICANN already. I think we made that clear when we started in Helsinki, this new XCOM, that the policy was going to be our main goal. And of course, we are going to change at least the way we've been doing so far. We don't want the XCOM to be doing only the policy work. We want the members to do the policy work as it's supposed to be. So I think we're going to be hearing a little bit more about that. I hope that Manuel can jump in the conversation, but I don't think he will make it. Anyone have any sort of comment on the policy committee that wants to say? At least the last time we talked about working groups involvement, in my case, I'm going to be involved in three. I'm already involved. The things in the rights protection mechanism are going okay. We are moving towards the definitions of the review of the process of the new GDLD round. We are still not in the review of the general United Resolution System. That's going to be left for probably 2017. Basically, just to be ready for the next round of the new GDLDs with a review process of rights protection. I'm still waiting on the news with the working group regarding implementations that is going to be, or it was supposed to be merged with the GNSO review working group. I still have no news on that. The first one that I was going to come up is the internal governance working group. I still haven't joined, but I will do that as soon as possible. Klaus, I see you have a hand up.
Thank you, but Mariam, your hand is up, was up first.
Sorry?
Marion's hand was up first, and I just wanted to let her speak first, if necessary.
I am going.
Okay, forgot to put it down. Just Klaus, for the record, just to let you know, I'm on several working groups, for example, on the what I call it the Who is Two, the UGDLD, and Ombudsman and Staff Responsibility in Workstream 2, and I'm following the GNSO extremely close. The point is, what I would like to remark is, it is at the moment very, very complicated. Some of the working groups are even in a state where we don't know if they can continue because some machinations going on in the background to have the next GDLD round implemented as quickly as possible. What I'm trying to say here is, it will be extremely difficult to really directly engage with our members into these working groups. We have to really get them there step by step, because once if you go into one of these working groups at the moment unprepared, you just never come back to ICANN again, because you don't understand the words, what is going on, you don't understand the background, and it's extremely, extremely work and time consuming. So with the different programs we are doing, the membership ambassador program, things like that, I think what we have to do, work on these first and get step-to-step buy-in. Thank you.
I agree. In general, I absolutely agree. Anyone else wants to do some sort of comment, update, or ask for something with the policy related? John?
John, for the record, I just wanted to point out that ICANN is actually working on how to write policy statements as an education. I don't know if we're aware of that. I'm going to get some information and send it on. But Robert... is actually working, what's his last name, I forgot his last name, is working on that with a number of people. I know that ALAC is involved in that, but I think that's something that MPOC should be be aware of, if not involved, but at least be aware of that we can actually use that document to help educate our members and potential members. Hogworth, that's it. Thank you.
Okay. Let's move to the, well, we don't have a fun manual to talk about the communication documentation, but maybe Mariam or Sean has some sort of information about it. Do you know anything about the status of the material we were supposed to be preparing for Hyderabad? Do you have any sort of input from Juan Manuel?
Hi, Martin. Thank you very much. Mariam speaking for the record. We have tried to contact Juan, but I'm guessing he's busy because we still haven't heard back from him. And, of course, because of the issue with my laptop as well, I'm working off my phone, so it's really difficult to be able to do anything concrete. But like I said to Joan and Juan, we already have enough materials on the Google Drive to use. So it's just us putting those together and sending it off. But I'm hoping that by next week at least we should have that ready for print in time for review and printing for the third deadline of September. Thank you very much. I don't know if Joan has anything to add to this. Thank you.
Okay, then we will have to remind Manuel because he has been absent from a lot of calls and a lot of moments of the XCOM. I wrote him specifically to engage in this call and to engage in these documents. So we have to do a stronger reminder. He's going through a rough phase, so he's having some problems. Of course, we are here to support him. Nonetheless, my real concern is to have the documents ready and the best as they can, especially now that we have ICANN support on almost every part of the document. We only need to do the text because we have the designer, we have the printing, so we really have to use that. I mean, it would be a shame not to. Let's see. Do we have? I think both Sam, Sean, and Klaus may have information on this, but is there any update we need to know about the financial status? If there is no status, I mean, we don't have to talk about this, but if there is any, this is the moment to say it.
Martin, it's Joan. Did we pass membership at all? Because I wanted to talk about membership.
Oh, I put you out?
Yes.
Yep. Sorry. I don't know why. I just jumped you. Yes, the membership committee and bachelor status update. I think we both have things on there, Joan. Go ahead.
Great. Thank you. Joan, for the record, I sent a document yesterday. I have a committee. I am so excited. I mean, it doesn't take much for me to get excited, but I'm so excited. From the very onset, we were asked to fulfill the charter, I guess, to have a committee structure. And so I kept thinking, you know, we needed to really get into psyche of our members, and of course one of the biggest is to engage and communicate with them. And how do we do that? Well, obviously we've all talked about writing a document and getting an outreach strategy, etc. But then I started thinking about who would be helpful initially. And I want to say, oh, thank you, Klaus. I want to say that I did ask Sam, but he'll maybe come on later, right, Sam? You don't have to answer that. So I looked at the membership as a whole and I thought, well, we should. It would be good to get someone who was involved in the past and someone who is involved in the new membership, because then we can get different perspectives. So I reached out. I sent each person that I thought would be really good a private email and invite them to participate. So Sintra has agreed to stand, and so has Agostina. So I'm really excited. I think they bring a lot to the table on how to engage, and certainly some of it what not to do or the mistakes that were made that we can, as Klaus usually put it, we have lots of lessons to learn, so how we can learn from them. So they have agreed and to be on the committee, and we are going to be meeting. I sent out an invite to them for Thursday or Friday to put our plan together. And Klaus made a really good point. You know, we have to go step by step. It's about education. It's not just about outreaching and telling them what we're going to do, although that's good too. But there's a whole education of ICANN and the background of what it is and how important it is and why MPOC is important and what role it plays. And so all of those things are really important. Of course, Miriam just mentioned about the document that we have to have ready for printed, which we will work on next week. So we'll work on that as well. The regarding the ambassadors program, we will work with the fellows for their regional vice presidents for India as a pilot project, and then take that experience and develop the criteria by engaging the members of MPOC as well on what it takes, but at least having some content that they can read and respond to. The other thing I wanted to say is because we're responsible for in-reach activities, the committee will also look at what events are being planned and maybe look at some of the suggestions that we can give long in advance so that we can make decisions about what do we do, where does CROP fit into that, more recommendation and dialogue than anything, but that that we keep a really close eye on those things. So that's my report, and I'm really excited about having a committee. Thank you.
John, those are amazing news. I already knew the part about the committee, but once I see it work, I will really cry out of happiness. I think it's amazing. I think that's big step. So congratulations on that. And I know you have also Agustina there, which I am very fond of. I know she will do a great work with you.
Mm-hmm.
In my part, I can say that, well, the onboarding program will be available for MPOC to use.
Right.
They are going to give us at least resources to develop the things we need. At this time, we are working on a welcoming letter and a toolkit. That will basically be useful as starting drafts, you know, to discuss with the committee. And of course, also the ambassador will be fully supported, at least from the point of view of developing by this program. And it seems to be moving forward, and we seem to be very in this program. So, good for that. You're going to have a lot of support from this program, at least.
Great.
Anyone else wants to do some sort of comment on the membership? Or we're going to jump out to final status. Sam, what's your point about?
Thank you, Martin. Sam, for the record. No, I had to be away for a couple of minutes when Klaus asked about an update on the finances, on the finance committee. So I just want to make a couple of comments here. This is unfortunately holiday time in Canada, so that the bank official that I'm dealing with for the creation of the account here is away until next Monday the 29th, so I'll know on the 29th what the status of the paperwork is on. I am about halfway through making sense of all this Dutch explaining what the bank account looked like for the past year or 2 years in the Netherlands, in Belgium, but in Dutch. I hope to have that report ready in 4 or 5 days. So that's where things stand now. Any questions?
Mm-hmm. Not for me. I mean, that's what basically the what we're waiting for, but it's completely normal. I don't know if anyone else has some sort of question on this. If not, we can
have one.
Yep.
No, let me add one thing. Typically, in the past, the account operated on one signature, the signature of Rudy. I initially proposed that it operate on two signatures, but the problem is most of what the account does is wire transfers to service providers, and those would be trickier to handle with two signatures. So I raised the question earlier, and I think the executive committee agreed that we'll operate on one signature, and since everything will be through the bank account, it'll all be transparent and accountable. If there are any issues about that, I'd like to hear them now.
Yes. I mean, I think that's a great proposal. Klaus, do you have anything to say about that?
No, nothing. I thought we already cleared that up, but it's good for Sam to remind us. What I wanted to say, to ask Sam, as we've got you on the spot, could you also do a very, very quick update on the situation with the web page?
Yes, the situation is that I've had to move slower than I want because I have other pressing obligations that they're legal obligations, so I can't ignore them without being relocated to a public city, I think. So there are certain deadlines I have to meet of my own that have nothing to do with NPOC and ICANN, but I can't get away from them.
John, you have the floor.
Sure. Thank you, John, for the record. Sam, I just wanted to point out with the wire transfer that we agreed to with one signature, if that's required, that we also discussed that, those amounts would be discussed by the XCOM and agreed to. So then one signature would suffice after that discussion has happened. I just wanted to add that.
Right. That's clear. Thank you for clarifying that.
Well, do we have any other business you would like to discuss? Anyone? Tapani, do you have anything you want to add or share specifically?
No, nothing. Thank you for having me here, and apologies for being late.
Then we go to Jahan here. Jahan here, if you have anything to add, this is the time. Oh, apparently not. Chong, one last word.
Sure, great. Thank you. It's John for the record. I just wanted us to have a discussion around responsibilities for these open meetings and how they're promoted and whose responsibility it is to, I mean, it's all our responsibility, I know that, but that just to make sure that we are pretty coordinated and have these quite often. I think that they're so good to have, but just to make sure that we have some planning time and get it promoted so that we can have more people come on a regular basis.
I can answer that. I will be responsible for the next ones. I will chair them as long as Klaus needs me to chair them, and I will try to work with Marian in order to at least address the different discuss lists. But of course, I can always improve the material and the way we communicate it. But so far, I think it's going to be the regular, the regular report to the different lists, to the FUC and CSG and NPOC list, telling them 2-3 times for 1 week before the call to join it. I think it could also work some mouth-to-mouth communication. I mean, basically try to talk with people outside MPOC or inside MPOC, telling them, you know, hey, we have something new to tell you, like we're doing this new thing where it's an open call. But again, since this is an XCOM call, we really are doing almost the same thing that we always do, but I will build momentum step by step. If we feel that we are really not getting, you know, this step-by-step progress of new people coming in the call, we can try to be much more aggressive and maybe start doing some outreach to the web page and things like that. I don't know what's your opinion on that. Klaus, you have the floor. Klaus?
Thank you, Martin. Yes, I think you are right, but I think we should really include in the MPOC discuss and give a little bit more background information on the topics and so on, one or two liners on each agenda topic, and not to do it the day before, but a week or two before, just to get it a little bit further. Also, the next meeting, actually, as I understand it, or let me start another point. As the committee chairs, you all have the right to call committee-specific meetings. So if the policy committee wants a meeting, or Poncelet, please go ahead and organize a meeting. And the same with communications and membership. As we are the first ones with membership on and have actually a committee established, as the charter says, I think it is John who will call the next membership meeting, which is not an open call, but this is as I said in my email, another type of call, which is not exclusively, but basically targets the MPOC membership. Thank you.
Sean, you have the last word, as I think. Go ahead.
Great. Thank you, Martin. My point about having regular meetings is if, and Miriam put it in the chat, if we can say to the community that we're going to have a meeting, you know, according to what Miriam's suggestion was, every second Thursday, for example, so that it starts to be known that there's an MPOC open meeting every second Thursday. I'm not saying that's what we the date, but I'm just saying an example, because I think it's very important for the larger community to get involved. And one way is consistency. When people know that's when it is, then they are prepared for it. So that's the point I was trying to make. Thank you.
Great. I agree with everything that the Klaus says, and with what Mariam is proposing. We can discuss that a little bit more in a specific email. I think that would be much more efficient. If no one else has anything to add, I will finish this call. I think it was a great call, maybe not with the best chair, but at least I think the participants were really, really active, and all of them listened to each other, and they give really thoughtful opinions. Well, Farsi has gone, but I loved having someone from the outside giving a strong opinion. At least she had a strong opinion against the one that we had, and I think that always challenges us, you know, to feel that whether we have a not only a strong but a valid point or not. And I think we actually feel that we have some sort of valid point. Well. Thank you all for being here. Let's continue our days. And we'll be talking to each other through mails, Skype, and things. Good call, everyone. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much, everyone, for attending this call. Anthony, you may now stop the recording. Thank you for your support today. Have a good day.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, everybody.